With thy spirit, till all shall sleep, Christ only always living in thee.
Thank you, David. Continuing chronologically through the entire Bible, we are in Proverbs chapter 14, beginning with verse 24, with a very, very interesting verse. The crown of the wise is their riches. The crown of the wise is their riches. Does that mean you have to be rich in order to be wise? That should be easy. This does not say if we were wise, we'll be rich. Jesus certainly wasn't. Jesus had a convert in the passage that Jason read a few minutes ago. He said, I'll go with you anywhere. Jesus says, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Okay, this cannot say that riches is an indication of wisdom. It can't say that. The previous verse is the key to understanding this. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The wise have something to show for their efforts, and Jesus did have something to show for their efforts. There are a lot of rich people that have nothing to show for their efforts because they inherited it, or they're blowing it. The wise have something to show for their efforts. A lot of times we discount this because we look at the stuff that people have and we think they must be doing everything just right. I learned by turning off gas who's rich and who's not. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people with a lot of stuff. That house will be empty in a year because they couldn't afford to make all those payments. Right. It was all a show. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. They have nothing but foolishness to show. A lot of people have a lot of fun in life. They got nothing to show for their life. Nothing at all, because all they have done is spend their lives in foolishness. Foolishness, fools, folly, triple threat. Got nothing to show for it. That's sad. Verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls. His news is helpful. His news may not be popular. His news may not be the sort of thing that you actually want to hear, but his news is helpful because he has a job to do. He actually wants to help the person he's communicating with. But a deceitful witness speaketh lies. We all know these people. His news is undependable. Where do these people live? They live on Facebook. They're easy to catch because they know everything about everything and none of it's dependable. None of it. 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What is the fear of the Lord? If we don't know what the fear of the Lord is, how are we going to have the confidence? It is trust that he is going to do what is best. Period. Now, a lot of Christians don't have that kind of a Lord. A lot of Christians have a God that's a sweet old guy that's just doing the best that he can, and he just is just struggling to hang on. I don't know about you, but I'm doing a good job of struggling to hang on myself. I need a God that's a little bit stronger than that. I need a God that's a little bit smarter than I am. I need a God that's a little more powerful than I am. But a lot of Christians, they don't have that kind of God. It's sad because he's all through Scripture. All through Scripture. I don't care what character you're talking about. I don't care what book you're talking about. I don't care about what chapter you're talking about. God is continually doing what is best in every single case.
Right.
Fear is respect. It's not being afraid of him. There's nothing to be afraid of because Jesus has done what it takes to make us right with God. And I would encourage you every day, thank Jesus for doing that. Amen. We don't have a concept of what Jesus paid just to make us right with God. Because we are right with God, we don't have to be afraid of Him.
Right.
We should respect Him. In the same way we respect a loving father, we should respect Him. Now, do I have to worry about what Dad is going to do when it comes to his relationship with me? Of course not. I know that my dad loves me. I know that my dad is going to do what is best for me. He always has. I've never had a reason to think otherwise. There's been a couple of times when I realized that what is best for me is probably not going to be comfortable or convenient. There's been times when my dad had to stand up to me and say, "You're wrong. I got to correct you." But never have I ever once doubted that he loves me and he's going to do what is best for me. In the fear of the Lord, in trust that God is going to do what is best, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That says so much about our day-to-day lives. When we finally accept it, when we finally accept that God is going to do what is best in our life, regardless of how we feel about it, when we finally accept it, watch this, life is no longer out of control. That's precious to me.
Yeah.
Life is no longer out of control. I tell you what, they're talking recession, I'm hearing. I don't watch the news, but I'm hearing people talk about the news. They're talking recession. What are we going to do? I have he's not my boss, but he's one of the upper level people at the gas company. He has some investments. He said, "I missed my chance to sell. Now I got to write it out." There's people that are very, very unconfident about the future. There are people that don't know what they're going to do next. I hear that there's another hurricane that might be heading our way. What are we going to do? We're still cleaning up after the last one. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That is powerful. And most people, and I'm talking saved or unsaved, most people do not have that confidence in God. My question is this: why not? Is God not God? These are questions we actually need to stop and think about when the emotion begins to rush in. Is God not God? Or is he that sweet old guy that's just doing the best that he can? If God is, in fact, God, the only thing I need to worry about is what does he want me doing next? That's the only thing I need to worry about. Now, if I'm not going to do what he directs me to do, then I need to show some respect over what he's going to do because I'm not doing what he directs me to do. But if God is going to do what is best, he's going to guide me, he's going to lead me in the next step, what is there to worry about? Absolutely nothing. Unless you're Tracy. Does Tracy have a God? Does that God not have the ability to fix Tracy? These are real hard questions for Tracy. Is God, in fact, doing what is best for Tracy? If you can't answer that question, you're not going to have confidence because it could happen to you. It could happen to you. On the other hand, if God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does, we can not only thank God for what he's doing in our life, we can thank God for what he's doing in Tracy's life.
Right.
Now this is hard. this is really hard. But the question is, do we want the confidence? Or do we want to be like everybody else and hope that the government takes care of it? On the way here in Zolfo, we passed a section of the road that was divided out through traffic in the left lane and the right lane. What was it, Michelle? She's not going to tell me. D-SNAP? Was that what it was? D-SNAP? S-SNAP. I said, what is that? I mean, literally, they had the right lane of 17 to where all you could do is pull into the park to get this thing. It's emergency government assistance. Michelle said that she heard that there was more people applied for that than there are in the entire state of Florida. But our government came through for them. Do we have confidence that God is going to come through for us? If not, why not? I submit to you the number one reason why we don't have confidence in God is we're not in His Word enough.
Right.
If we are in His Word, we're not paying attention and personalizing it. When I say we, I mean we. We. I told you a few weeks ago that my doctor's got my medicine messed up. It's still messed up. There's times to where I have to yell at myself. It's like, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel this way? Before I came up to preach, I thought, am I going to be able to do this? But I know for a fact it's what God wants me to do. I know for a fact what Proverbs... Let me rephrase that. I know for a fact what God has given me from Proverbs for you. I know for a fact that if I don't give it to you, I'll be in disobedience. So, I say, all right, Lord, you got to do it. Because I can't. I just can't do it. And I look at Tracy. And I feel so guilty for having any negative feelings at all compared to her. She's got it so much worse than me. Yet, I expect her to have confidence in God. What do we do when God doesn't show up? I submit to you that's never happened. Let me phrase that again. I'm going to say it again. What do we do when God doesn't show up? That has never happened.
Right.
God has always shown up. Always. He's showing up right now with Tracy. He's showing up right now with you in whatever situation that you're going through. It can seem out of control, but the confidence is available. Why? Because He is in fact God. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Not just confidence, strong confidence. What if? Are words that we should never use. If we've got a God who is in fact God. And His children have a place of refuge. Why would they need a place of refuge? Because difficulty exists. It's going to exist. God uses difficulty in our life to strengthen us and to mature us. It's difficulty is a good thing if we will simply see it through God's eyes. His children have a place of refuge. Whose children? The man that has the fear of the Lord. Where did they get that confidence? If he teaches them, they have it. If they don't use it, that's on them. Our children are not always going to act right. All we can do is teach them what is right and then guide them through the consequences when they don't make the right choice. But constantly reminding them that God is God. God is God for you. You have a responsibility to do the next thing that he wants you to do. If you're not going to do that, then why would you expect anything from him? But if you will just simply follow God's lead, God can straighten this out, whatever it is. That's a place of refuge that our children can turn to if we have taught them that. How do we teach them? We got to show them. What happens when things get difficult? Do they see us turning to God? If not, they're not being taught.
Right.
They're being preached to.
Yeah.
27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. This is very similar to the last verse. Trust that he is going to do what is best is refreshing. Trust that God is going to do what is best is refreshing. The confidence will get us through. That fountain of life will make us enjoy it.
Yeah.
It will make us enjoy it. Do we enjoy life? Well, if I had this and I had this and I had this, I'd enjoy it. So has God provided what he promised he would provide?
Yeah.
Is he God? Can we enjoy life? And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Yes, we can enjoy life if we will trust that God is going to do what is best. I know this sounds repetitious, but this is how my mind has been going for about 2 months now. I have to. My mom, the last 10 years of her life, stayed in the house with the windows drawn in the dark. I never understood that until the last 2 months. That's all I want to do. Yesterday, Michelle opened up the blinds and said, "Michelle, that's too bright. Close the blinds." And it occurred to me, this is exactly how Mom felt. Even after all these years, I get to share something with her, and that's precious to me. But is God going to do what is best? If we don't know the answer to that question, we're not going to have the confidence, and we're not going to have the fountain of life. I'm not saying we're not saved. I'm saying that Jesus came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly.
Yep.
Not without problems. Jesus had more problems than all of us put together.
Right.
But confidence that God is going to do what is best. If I don't have that, I need to give him his word. And I need to personalize it. I need to look at what he has done on this page. I need to ask, Why did God put this page in my Bible? What does this mean for me? We could look at the story of Jonah and the whale and say, oh, that's wonderful. It means nothing to me. What if you're in the belly of the fish?
No.
What then?
Nice.
Will God cause the fish to spit you up? Has He ever not? Look back over the course of your life. When did God let you down? This is not going to be the first time that He let you down, because He's not going to let you down. I know this is very, very basic, but we lose track of this. We get so busy in life with all the stuff that's going on around us and all the people that's angry and all the people that's having their problems, and it feels like life is out of control. It's not out of control for His children. His children have a place of refuge. I love that. Regardless of how it feels, regardless of how it looks, I love that we are safe. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because He will guide me through tomorrow. That's confidence. That's refreshing if I will allow it to be. I have to choose to think this way, though. If I don't choose to think this way, then God turns into the nice old man. Everybody likes the nice old man. It's like, you know, okay, just shoot up enough prayers and maybe He'll give you what you're asking for. It's a sad way to live. I heard a guy say that he's not into religion. That's like waiting for a train that's not coming. If we look at it that way, it's exactly what it is. On the other hand, if God is going to do what is best, the train is here, always. The train is right here, always. This is, in fact, what is best. Difficulty with Dawson, it's what's best. Guaranteed. Don't understand it. Feel bad for you, but I wouldn't change it because I know that God could change it if it was not best. What is God teaching us? What is God teaching Dawson? These are questions we need to think about. We need to concentrate. Is God going to do what is best? It's as simple as that. 28. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. How many did Jesus have? In the end, they all left Him. They all left Him. This cannot say that if you got a large group of people, you're successful. It can't say that because it doesn't fit with the life of Jesus. And Jesus is absolutely imperative to be our plumb line to see what the proverb is actually saying. Like all proverbs, this is how things usually work, even among the unsaved. If I don't have many friends, I need to ask why, I believe, is what this is saying. If I don't have many friends, I need to ask why. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. Someone with a lot of friends is showing themselves friendly. That's what Scripture says. If a man wants friends, he has to show himself friendly. If I don't have a lot of friends, if I don't have many friends, if I don't have any friends, what does that say about me? That is my number one favorite thing about this church. Because I know that I can count on you to be there for me. You know how many friends I have in Claremont? That's about how many I have in Claremont. But I don't leave the house a lot. I don't show them that I care about them. So a lot of it is my fault. But I know for a fact that you guys care about me, because you could go anywhere this morning, but you chose to come here.
Yep, amen.
And I appreciate that. Turn to hymn 7. This song is not the most exciting song in the book, but to me it is precious when it comes to talking about my friends. Hymn number 7. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. What do I have in common with each and every one of you? My commitment to my God and my trust in His Son. This is what we have to share with other people. We've got to share it with other people. But first, we have to experience it. It has to make a difference. Father, thank you for Proverbs. Some of them seem like, man, they're the same old thing again. But then there's some, like we had today, that are very, very powerful. Strong confidence is something that I need. And I thank you that it's there for me if I will choose to accept it. I thank you that you're God. I thank you that you're not about to begin letting me down. You have this completely under control, regardless of how it feels. But Father, it's not just me. There's people in this very room right now with difficulties, with pressures that I know nothing about. Thank you that they have strong confidence in you if they will just choose to trust that you're going to do what is best. Thank you for the privilege, the honor that it is to share that information with this group of people. I pray your blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.